to Yerushalayim in Yotzei Vein Ba. There was a complete vise on Yerushalayim, sort of more aggressive than Yeravam had done in just terms of preventing people from Malchus Yisrael of being Ola Leregel. And this is what led Asa to appeal to Melech Aram for assistance. And in that appeal we noted that, you know, he strangely, you know, had sort of defied his previous pattern of behavior in terms of appealing to Rachamei Shamayim, as he did in the earlier battles against the Libyans and the Ethiopians. He also didn't make a direct appeal for peace to Baasha himself. So we've met Baasha tangentially, but we really didn't see his story before, which is interesting. So he's introduced in the text, agav, right? He's sort of there, but we don't know, you know, how he came to power, especially because he's not from the line of Yeravam. So we're going to look at that tonight. And we're going to see very distinctive patterns. So I'll lay out the thesis of tonight's year at the very beginning, that what happens to Baasha is literally a facsimile, almost down to the same word, as what happens to Yeravam. Now, that is, you know, always, you know, sad when we're not making progress, you know, from generation to generation, but it's even worse in this case for reasons that I'll explain. So it, in a way, it's history repeating, but in a certain sense, it's even more problematic than that. So let's just begin by reviewing the chart as we always do. So we talk about Malchus Yehuda or Malchus Beis David. David, of course, as the progenitor, 40 years. Shlomo, his own 40 years. So then we have the schism, Rechavam, for 17 years. Yeravam outlasts Rechavam. Aviyam is the son of Rechavam, only 3 years. Yeravam remains in power. And then we have Asa for 41 years, which spans Yeravam and his son Nadav. Baasha appears, and we'll focus on him tonight, and then subsequent figures that we'll get out. Now, in terms of Malchus Yisrael, we've studied extensively Yeravam. Nadav, the son of Yeravam, there's not much to say about, other than he was his father's son, as we'll talk about tonight, and didn't differentiate himself, which in this case, you know, was a significant problem. And then Baasha, who we'll discuss at length, he was the one who destroyed the house of Yeravam. He doesn't come from Shevet Ephraim, he comes from Shevet Yisachar. So remember, that's sui generis, that you don't have that phenomenon at all in Malchus Beis David. You don't have the Malchus going from Yehuda to Binyamin or whatever. It's always within the family. And he reigns for 24 years. He, interestingly, doesn't move the capital, keeps it in Tirzah. And this is, again, during the reign of Asa. Baasha only interfaces with one Melech Yehuda. So let's take a look at the text. We'll point out again what we said in terms of the history repeating phenomenon. V'nadav ben Yeravam malacha Yisrael b'shnashtayim la'asa Melech Yehuda v'imlocha Yisrael shnatayim. So Nadav had a very, very, very brief reign. We'll see why in a second. V'yasa rabbi ne Adonai v'ilach v'derech aviv, right? He's introduced in the text as Nadav ben Yeravam. He's ben Yeravam in more than the biological sense. It wasn't just that he was wicked himself, but that he insisted on being a corrosive, corrupting, insidious influence on the Jewish people. We know nothing about Baasha other than he's from the tribe of Yisachar, and that he conspires against Nadav. More on this later. Baasha kills Nadav when Nadav is at war with the Plishtim, with an external enemy, and that's going to be a very important point. Vayamiteo Baasha b'shna shalosh le'asa melech Yehuda vayimloch tachtav vayikim melcho. He caused kol beis Yeravam lo hishir kol neshama le'Yeravam. He wipes out and annihilates all of the family members of Yeravam ad hishmido kidvar Adonai asher dibir b'yad avdo achiyah hashiloni. As we saw, and we'll go back over the text in just a moment, had been predicted already in the days of Achia Shiloni. Al Chatos Yeravam Asher Chata Vasher Hechti Es Yisrael Bechaso Asher Hechises Adonai Elohei Yisrael. Right, and this had happened to Yeravam, not to make Baasha into any kind of a tzaddik, But this had happened to Yeravam because not only had he been such a terrible disappointment himself, but that he was such a destructive force for the Jewish people. V'yaser divrei Nadav v'chol asher asah, halohim k'suvim al sefer divrei hayamim l'malchei Yisrael. All of the things that Nadav did, they're written, you know, in the works of Malchei Yisrael. B'shnat shalosh l'alsa melech Yehuda melech basha ben achyal kol Yisrael. It's a lengthy reign, not Asa territory, not 41 years, but 24 years. So he is longer than Yeravam and Nadav combined. Yeravam being 22 years and Nadav being 2 years, basically, or a little bit less, actually. But so 24 years, Basha. V'yasara b'nei Adonai v'ilich b'derech Yeravam u'v'chataso asher hechti es Yisrael. Literally verbatim, Basha is described, even though he killed Yeravam, he's described in precisely the same terminology as Yeravam himself was described. And that, you know, of course, is, you know, deeply troubling in the sense that here was somebody who felt the need to kill Yeravam, and you would think that he's killing Yeravam because Yeravam has been such an unmitigated spiritual disaster for Klal Yisrael. And he goes and does exactly the same thing. So that's, you know, to his discredit. And we'll talk about that. Going back a little bit, just so that we should remind ourselves, this was all foretold. Remember when the son of Yeravam takes ill, and he sends his wife, dressed up, Tachia Shiloni, that nobody should recognize her. Vayihi chishma achiyahu es kol ragleha, baba petach, vayomer bo'i eshes Yeravam. Remember Hashem had tipped him off. Lamazad misnakeira, why are you dressing up? Venochi shalua chelayach kasha, I have very rough news. L'chi imri li Yeravam ko'amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael, yana shahari mosicha mitocham v'et necha nagid almi Yisrael. Right, I elevated you to a position of great power. Let's remember those words. V'akras ha mamlacha mi beis David v'et na lach, v'lo ha'isa ke'avdi David asher shamar mitzvosai v'asher halach acharai, right, and you failed the test, right? You could have been, you know, in the, you know, a pantheon of David, and yet you strayed from me. And you reached unprecedented depths of depravity. And you threw me over your shoulder. That's, you had no use for me whatsoever. Lachain. Right, I'm going to destroy all the members of the house of Yeravam. Just people could just mute. That'd be helpful. Okay. Right, so this has all been foretold, that the house of Yeravam will be totally destroyed, just as we saw. Hames the Yeravam ba'ir yochlu aklavim, very particular detail, that those that die in the city will be consumed by dogs. Hames basada yochlu of hashamayim ki Adonai diber, and those that die in the fields will be consumed by the birds of the heaven. So has God, you know, spoken. So, you know, these are very, very, very particular kinds of details. And we're going to see similar language in just a moment. So the Ralbag, Rabbeinu Levi ben Gershon, comments about Basha's slaughtering the house of Yeravam, but he came alcho, he caused kol beis Yeravam. Ro'oi l'sapek echnach shov lozeh la'avon. Why was this considered a sin? Right, the Navi presents it as if, you know, slaughtering the house of Yeravam was a sin, but wasn't it like a mitzvah? Because as we just read, it had been foretold; it was part of God's, you know, vision. Right, v'inei hayadvar Hashem yarachia Navi shiazel beis Yeravam benavan. V'inei matzanu shenachshav lo la'avon b'mashem aracharze avel kol ra'a asher asa. When Basha is described amongst the things that are pointed out of that he did that were bad. So amongst the sins of Basha is the fact that he killed everybody in the house of Yeravam. So the Ralbag suggests that he wasn't doing it because he was so offended by, you know, Yeravam's spiritual decadence, because he just imitated Yeravam. He was no different, not at all different. It wasn't like he was doing it because he saw this as the will of God, right? Which we'll get to when we have the annihilation of the house of Omri. He did it for power. And therefore, it was a debased act. It was just murder for murder's sake, so that he could retain power. And therefore, it's sinful, even if it's what God wanted as a result. It doesn't make it any better, Then there's one other point here, which I think is very significant, and we noted as we read the Psukim. So when the Ralbag says the fact that he killed Nadav, when Nadav was leading Malchus Yisrael in a foreign war, was a very significant problem. Because, at least it used to be true, right? Politics, stops at the border. It's one thing, to kill the man. But in the middle of a war, it's completely irresponsible in terms of, the Jewish people. Now, this is we talk about this all the time. People are entitled to their opinions. People can be, as I am, very partial to the Ramban's doctrine about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and think of it as very significant, and even sense the possibility of a historic opportunity. People could be less excited about that. People could even be, some very, very committed Jews are, deeply concerned about the Shalosh Shavuos, the Gemara Ksuvos, which says that Shalo Yalu V'choma, the Jewish people should not take Israel, as a matter of political or military force. There are very sincere people on all sides of that issue, but I think what's beyond the pale is what's defined here by the Navi, is that, to make common cause with people who are, murderers of Jews, to stand arm in arm with, Hezbollah or Hamas or something like that, the Israel parade. And again, we should be careful. This is not all of them, but to stand, in the same section of people who are celebrating terrorists. So that's where it goes too far, because that's not just saying that, you have theological problems with it, and even very deep theological people are very much entitled to their opinions. People who know these, sugyos understand that these things are not, black and white. But the point is that to make, a common cause with enemies of the Jewish people, to kill Nadav as he's fighting the enemies of the Jewish people, that is, an unforgivable kind of a thing. It's treacherous and completely unacceptable. And that's, beyond the pale. And I think that line remains exactly where it should be today. Now, after Baasha basically does, only what Yeravam had done, in other words, he gets rid of Yeravam, not because Yeravam is a danger to the Jewish people, and not because Yeravam is, not because Yeravam is, spiritually a disappointment, or because he thinks this is what Hashem would want him to do, but simply, for his own sake, as a matter of power. So the Navi tells us the following. Vayidvar Adonai al Yehu ben Hanani al Baasha lemor. So God speaks to Yehu ben Hanani, and he says regarding Baasha the following. Yana asher hayimosicha min ha'afar. Notice, I lifted you up from the very dust, and almost exactly the same words, but one extra expression, min ha'afar, that were spoken to Yeravam. Ve'nechana gil al ami Yisrael. Word for word, what Yeravam was told by Achia Shiloni. And you did exactly what Yeravam did. So I will destroy you and your entire household. If you want to act like Yeravam ben Nevat, your fate will be the fate of Yeravam ben Nevat. Hames labasha b'yir yochlu haklavim. V'hames lo basada yochlu of hashamayim. Those that die from your house in the city will be eaten by the dogs, and in the fields by the birds. Where have we seen this before? I mean, this is a very particular detail. So I'm like, you know.
Right there.
Yeah, exactly right, Effie, right? That's what we saw, right, in the context of Yeravam. V'yaser divrei Basha v'asher asa gvurasa Elohim k'suvim al sefer divrei yamim v'malchei Yisrael. V'yishkav Bashim avosav v'yikaver betirtza v'yimloch eilav v'notachtav. And his son succeeds him. V'gam b'yad Yehu ben Chanani ha-Nevi Dvar Adonai hayal Basha v'l'beiso v'l'kol ha-ra'a asher asa b'yinei Adonai l'hachiso v'masi adav v'yoski b'yisi Yeravam v'al asher hikaoso. And now, as noted before, what's considered sinful is not just Basha's behavior, but the fact that he killed the house of Yeravam. You know, in retrospect, that just seems like cold-blooded murder because he did nothing to advance the spiritual state of the Jewish people. It's one thing if he would annihilate the house of Yeravam, either, again, as an expression of the will of God, as relayed by Achia Shiloni, or because he felt that they were so dangerous spiritually to the Jewish people. But to do it for power, right, that's just plain murder. And therefore, Basha deserves exactly the same fate as Yeravam. Okay, so that's the story of Basha. Now we have a chance to reflect a little bit. I think there are a couple of important points to draw out. Number one, as you mentioned a moment ago, people, you know, are always going to have differences of opinion, even on core issues. And that's, you know, part of what we, you know, can rightly expect, you know, in terms of the Jewish people. But there have to be certain red lines. A certain red line that we find, again, l'dorei doros in this text, is that it's one thing for Basha, you know, to be power hungry. It's one thing for Basha to launch a coup against the house of Yeravam, but it's totally unacceptable to do so when Nadav is at war with the enemies of the Jewish people. Now, I think that this point, you know, really dovetails with something that my mother pointed out 2 weeks ago. My mother was very, very offended, right, that Asa, when he was besieged by Basha, what did he do? Right, instead of, again, turning to God, as we discussed last week, or looking to work things out with Basha, he turned to a foreign source, Melech Aram, to set him against his brother. And I think that, right, is now, that comes into new focus. Because Basha was the person who became the king, right, by selling out the Jewish people, you know, at a time of war to a foreign power. And therefore, it makes sense that his undoing would come in large part at the hands of a foreign power. Okay, that I would say is point number one. Point number two is that we already see like a qualitative or categorical difference, if you will, between Malchus Beis David and Malchus Yisrael. So Malchus Beis David has its problems, as we understand. That's how we got there. Rechavam was not a great ambassador. Aviyam, certainly not a great ambassador. Asa, a massive disappointment in terms of what he might have been. V'gam b'chol yola darasha sashem ki'im barofim. But it's all within the family. What we see in terms of Malchus Yisrael is that there's no continuity. 24 years, and a murder. Basha is going to be 24 years. His son Elah is going to come in for a very brief time. And you can probably guess what's going to happen because it's already been predicted. And this is not going to be the exception. This is going to be the norm. Thirdly, right, we're seeing the proliferation and mainstreaming, if you will, of horrific acts of violence. The fact that, you know, Malchus Yeravam is terminated in such a grisly fashion, right? An act of total annihilation has to give us pause. When the Torah speaks about annihilation, to the extent that the Torah does speak about annihilation, when does it do that? Like the only two contexts.
Amalek.
Even though there are different ways of achieving that, right? It could just mean that they would give up their ideology, according to the Kesef Mishnah and the view of the Rambam. But what else? Like, who are the... What? Where else do we find that halacha of hacharem tachrimem?
Yirni dachas.
Okay, excellent. So, yirni dachas, very good, Effie. Hake takes kol yoshve ha'ir ha'hili ficharev. It is because they essentially, after you've hit on a critical point, the actual expression, hacharem tachrimim, which is then echoed by hakei takei, by Yerini Dachas, is that this city, instead of being a Jewish city, has effectively turned itself into a Canaanite city. And so, v'haya kasher dimisi lasos lahem es elachem. And therefore, its fate should be like the fate of a Canaanite city. So what we're seeing here is the degeneration and degradation of Malchus Yisrael, the idea of this kind of violence against, again, what in the end, it's between Shevet Yisachar and Shevet Ephraim. That's a problem. And every time there's going to be a new dynasty born in blood, it will go down in blood. And of all the messages, I think that's the one that I wanted to emphasize the most. There are cultures, fascist cultures in particular, where power is worshipped. Power is at the center of identity and ideology. The ability to be powerful. Halacha repudiates that. To the extent that power is important, it's only important in terms of securing the ability to do things that are intrinsically significant. The reason, as the Rambam writes, multiple places, Hilchos Tshuva, Hilchos Melachim, Shmona Prakim, and others, the Igros, the reason that, let's say, we would yearn for the Messianic age isn't because there's going to be any substantive difference in natural law or in halacha, but because it provides geopolitical and economic security so that we could do what human beings were created to do, which is to draw close to God through study, through practice. Tveikos. The idea of seizing Malchus through power is entirely foreign to the halachic system. And here, I think we have to emphasize the point in the strongest terms. Remember, time and again, throughout our study of Sefer Shmuel, David had the opportunity to kill Shaul, right? Many, 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 many times. But what did David always say? What was for David the bottom line? What was always the bottom line for David is that one doesn't possibly lift a finger against Mashiach Hashem, right? Remember when David even cuts the Kanaf Me'il of Shaul, Vayach Levav David Oso, that David is grief-stricken. It's horrible for him because, he feels that he's betrayed, God's anointed one, even though, Shaul was a spent force. And so the idea of seizure of malchus by power through bloodshed can never possibly be an arrangement that accrues to the benefit of the Jewish people. And so we're going to see, in the case of Basha's very short-lived dynasty, we'll see this in the context of Achav and Omri, we'll see this in the context of Yehu, all of the people that we're going to meet. In terms of Malchus Yisrael, the basic story never changes. That which is born in blood dies in blood. Because there's no way to reconcile that culture with halachic culture, with what an acceptable notion of Malchus might possibly be. So Basha is a very, very important turning point. In a certain sense, he's just a recapitulation of Yeravam, but it's the first time we have the seizure of a form of Malchus Yisrael, admittedly the Northern Kingdom, through a bloodletting. And as we said, for no other reason than for power. Not because God wanted him to do it, not because he had a different agenda, different spiritual agenda than Yeravam. He was Yeravam 2.0. He did nothing different of any note. But he killed him because he was in the way, and his family. And that again, is just totally irreconcilable with halachic culture. Judaism has abhorred violence, certainly this form of violence. Violence in pursuit of power. And that's going to become, sadly, one of the hallmarks of Malchus Yisrael. So where we'll pick things up is with the unraveling of the house of Basha. Remember, we already have the nevuah of Yehu ben Hanani, as we had the nevuah of Achia Hashiloni. And we'll begin to encounter how the next dynasty is born. It's a very bloody intermediate period that we'll talk about, but the groundwork has been laid by Basha, that Rubicon has been crossed, where a Jewish king would behave as any pagan king of the ancient Near East would behave in terms of total destruction of one's political opponents, mass murder. This is a Rubicon in Jewish history. Any questions on the reign of Basha? Okay, great. So we will pick it up there, God willing, next week. Same time. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.
Rabbi, good night. Rabbi, you got my email?
Yes, I have to take a look at it. Thank you, Sam.
So make sure you got no problem.
Okay.
Good night.
Thanks, Sam. Good night.
Thank you. Okay, you're welcome. Good night.